Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. It's an SEC on fire edition. That's why I've got my football and grits host
on
David
fired.
Ubbin joining
on fired, Andy.
Well, we don't know that yet. This is sort of a David and I were discussing this before we went on the show. We don't really know how to address the Brian Harsin situation because something may happen by the time you hear this episode. And so you may be listening to it on Monday morning and going, hey guys, this already went down, because we don't really know what the timing is. Brian Harsin's on vacation and stuff's going on
train
in Auburn. Yeah, let's talk about that. So there are interviews going on at Auburn. You've got the athletic director Alan Green, the COO of the university, Ronald Burgess, retired Lieutenant General Ronald Burgess, former Army intelligence officer Ronald Burgess. They're doing these interviews with people in the program, trying to get to the bottom of what's going on, to quote Auburn President Jay Gouge, who is the outgoing president, to separate fact from fiction. That's what they're trying to do. David, I think I put out a column on Sunday night. I really think this comes down to one fact and one fact alone. Brian Harsin just signed the 8th best recruiting class in the SEC. The highest ranked recruit is number 141 in the nation. That's not good enough. He was not recruiting like Nick Saban recruits. He was not recruiting like Kirby Smart recruits. He was not trying the way they try to recruit. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of these questions come from. And I think they're just asking questions to try to reduce or eliminate the buyout at this point.
Yeah, to that point, yes. I think the issue is much, much bigger than just the recruiting, though, Andy, because I look at it this way. You look at Scott Frost in Nebraska. You look at Cliff Kingsbury at mm-hmm. Texas Tech. And you think about Jim Harbaugh at Michigan even. These guys that came in as sort of conquering heroes, our favorite son. Everyone loves him before he coaches a game, before he steps to the podium. Everyone is aligned. And they say, hey, I sense we'll talk plenty of alignment before we get done, Andy. But everyone
yes.
is in lockstep.
And probably some Jim Harbaugh too.
Yes. Yeah. Everyone's in lockstep. We love this guy. We want him to succeed. Everyone's rooting. Everyone's rowing in the same direction. Until this year, it did not go well for those three guys. But people kept pushing. And it got until, year three, year four,
yeah.
before people were really, eh. So the recruiting has not been good. Auburn paid $23 million to get worse. All those things are true.
Yeah, and Auburn's never aligned. I
yes.
think that's what you're getting to, right?
This is
they're,
true.
They're never
all
historically
these things are true.
Not aligned.
But ultimately, yeah. well, but Andy, if they had hired Nick Saban, they would have been aligned. You know what I'm saying?
True.
Well, so anyway,
true. What if they'd hired Brian Kelly? They probably would have been aligned. If they'd,
yeah.
I don't know about Billy Napier or Brent Venables, which were two guys they actually
yeah,
talked
probably
to.
Probably not. But like the home run guy,
both,
the guy
both
that
got
everybody's
a little
excited.
Scared. Yeah.
Yeah.
Both
so it's
got
a combination
scared by the lack of,
alignment. It's a combination of you have Brian Harsin who was a fine coach at Boise State. Others have been better, but he was okay. And it's a guy that not a lot of people knew in Auburn. And so you have there's a lot of grumbling, Andy. And when there's grumbling, and then you do things on the field to amplify that grumbling, and we can get to losing games, recruiting, 20 guys in the portal, 8 defensive linemen in the portal, all of those things, beyond anything else, then you get to where we're at right now. And so, Andy, I think these are problems that Auburn inherited from a year ago, self-inflicted perhaps. but again, you have a guy who was hired, and it was not the most popular
Auburn
hire, and there you go.
Auburn didn't make Brian Harsin fire Mike Bobo.
No, he didn't. Again, that's another thing to the assistant coaches.
And,
more adding
yeah,
volume.
And Derek Mason left of it. Derek Mason left of his own accord.
Yes.
Really before his Oklahoma State job was locked down. He was just leaving with no job.
This is again, Andy, this is not, I just don't think it's one thing. It's like six pretty big things, all sort of belied by not winning enough games.
If he had a top five recruiting class, none of those things would matter. They would say, well, you go get whatever assistance you want, just get us the same results. They're not saying that. They're asking questions about why the assistance leave. How are they treated?
If you go 9-3 instead of 6-7, I think that helps too.
But don't lose to South Carolina. Don't lose to Houston in the Birmingham Bowl.
Yeah. The optics of we're going to pay $23 million to have a worse season than Gus Malzahn ever had. I mean, sometimes it's not much deeper than that, even when it is deeper than that.
Yeah. Well, and the thing was, Auburn needs to understand what Auburn is. And that is a program that can do better than this. And I think that's part of the problem is they thought they could do better than Gus Malzahn. And maybe they can, but they didn't hire someone better than Gus Malzahn.
Yeah.
So if you're going to fire someone who is as successful or not successful, however you want to view it, if you're going to fire someone at the level of Gus Malzahn, you have to hire someone better than Gus Malzahn, and they didn't. And I don't really, like, I know people say, give him time. He's not better than Gus Malzahn. He will not be better at Auburn than Gus Malzahn.
I'm with you on this, Andy.
I don't know if he's going to coach another game at Auburn, so it doesn't really matter. But he does not understand the basic concept of the most important part of his job.
Talent acquisition business.
That's right. You must recruit like Nick Saban, like Kirby Smart, like Jimbo Fisher. By the way, all three are on your schedule every year.
Good luck.
Only Josh Heupel has to also play Alabama and Georgia every year.
And he gets to dodge
A&M. He's the only other guy who has to do that. Yeah,
Auburn does not have that luxury. So what do we have, Andy? Three national championship. What? There's five coaches that have won national championships, or six now. I lose count. And three of them.
Mac. Yeah.
Mac. I guess we have to count Mac. Okay. We'll count Mac.
Well, we always had to count Les Miles when he was Kansas, and it didn't feel right either. So
we have Mac, we have Saban, we have Swinney, we have the newest member of the club, Kirby, we have Jimbo. Am I forgetting someone? If we're forgetting somebody, we're getting screamed at by those fans right now, Andy.
Well, Chiz and Mac are on the same staff now.
Head coaches. You got two national championship head coaches.
I know. I'm just pointing out the absurdity of two national championship head coaches on the same staff in Chapel Hill. Yes. Sorry.
The ceiling is the roof in Chapel Hill, as always, Andy. But so you have three of those guys you have to play every single year. I mean, Andy, you'll have to forgive me. I don't memorize the top 20, but Bama, Georgia, A&M were 1, 2, 3, were they not?
The order was A&M, Bama, Georgia this year, but yes. I'm sure they'll just trade the spots for the next few years.
That's going to be an issue. Again, Andy, I just think here's a question for you, Andy. This is sort of the flip side of the Harsin. I don't know if you can call it an argument, whatever you want to call it. What does he have going for him right now? He kept Tank Bigsby. That's about all I can give him.
He's got a strong jawline.
I'll give him that. And he's got some players. I mean, he's got some players defending him. Now, here on the player aspect of it, Andy, here's my question. Certainly, some people will defend him. Some people, not the biggest fans of Brian Harsin, both players there and gone. Now, how do you come back from that, Andy? I think just the fact that you have a sizable faction of your team that agrees with, you know, the Lee Hunters of the world that are leaving and saying he treated them like dogs. And whether that's accurate or not accurate, perception is reality, Andy. We weren't with the practices and we weren't around, so we don't know. But if
sorry, John Samuel Shanker, we'd love to see the practices, but Brian Harsin won't let us. So
yes.
Sorry.
For the record, I did try to come down to Auburn on two separate occasions this year, Andy, and they weren't doing any in-person interviews, so I was told it's fine. Don't worry about coming down. So we've been trying. So anyway, if you have a large faction of the team that doesn't support you, I don't know how you come back from that.
Well, and the thing is, you can say perception versus reality, and look, everybody's experience is valid. Like everybody's entitled to their opinion on this thing. But the reality is you have a divided locker room. Like 100%. It is clear you have a divided locker room. So That's another thing you have to – that I think you can come back from. You've seen coaches do it before, you know, because sometimes you just have a group that chemistry doesn't work, mm-hmm. and you bring some different guys in and it fixes itself, or you fix it by changing a little bit as a person or how you interact with people. This is a bigger root cause because you've got to deal with that, but you also have to deal with the talent gap that you're allowing to get wider. And – you know, I don't know how you change, even if Harsin suddenly decides, like comes back from vacation and suddenly decides, I'm going to recruit my ass off. I'm going to go do what? It's too late. Mm-hmm. Like the class of 2020, like Nick Saban was in a bunch of high schools this past month getting class of 2023 guys lined up.
And it's the year That's two, what he was it's doing. The year two bump, Andy. You pointed out in your column, and it's true.
Yeah.
You, I mean, this when you have your first full class at a big program like Auburn that has recruited, I wouldn't say elite, but they've had more than their share of top 10, top 7, 8 classes, Andy. You can do better than this.
So, yeah, Gus Malzahn, 8 classes, 6 of them were in the top 10, the other 2 were number 11 and number 12.
Yeah.
That compares favorably to like Kevin Sumlin at Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. It's better than Sumlin. Sumlin had some, you know, 5 to 10 range classes, and I think he had like one that was like 16 and one was like 13. But you saw what happened when Jimbo got there. He just flipped that up. So Auburn is not so far away that they, like, because there's some programs I think they'll never be able to recruit at that level. Auburn can.
Yeah.
Auburn is capable of it and has the fan base and the location and the whatever you need.
Beyond all those things, Andy, we have proof of concept. It's happened. So we don't have to look very far. Like, it's just that simple.
It's not ancient history. They played for a national title in 2013. They won one in 2010. They were undefeated in 2004 and 1993. Yes. None of this is really, really ancient history. Like, in the modern era, they can win. Mm-hmm. So that's the part. But I understand where the coaches are coming from and where the coaches were coming from last year and why they wound up with Brian Harsin, because people who know that situation, and Brian Harsin from Boise State, not really worked in the SEC, doesn't have a bunch of buddies he can call and say, what was it like when you were there? Like,
yeah,
the Brent Venables and the Billy Napiers of the world, because of where they worked, could go, hey guys, what's going on with this? Are they really this divided? Who's my boss here? Like, and that was the question that caused those people to not want the job. So let's say they make a change here and they try to go get somebody. You need to find a way to try to be aligned, even though you've not, like Texas A&M. It's interesting because we're comparing the two, but it is somewhat similar. David, you know this. You dealt with Texas A&M a lot. They were the most unaligned, like fighting, you know, board of regents fighting each other. Like there were so many different factions. And only recently have they really gone top to bottom alignment.
Yeah.
And it feels precarious, but John Sharp, the chancellor there, seems to have gotten everybody on the same page. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's going to work for them. I don't know if it's going to result in a national title in football, but they got a number one recruiting class, so maybe. They got Jimbo Fisher away from Florida State. Maybe. We'll be right back after these words.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Andy, here's my question, and, you know, I'll be delicate because I don't like being sued for libel, but if Auburn cannot get out from underneath this buyout, do you really think that they're going to be willing to say $41 million in two seasons for two head coaches, not to mention paying another coach. And then I think if you add the assistants, I believe it's north of $70 million. And that's a lot of money. Do you think they're still going to pull the trigger if they can't get out from underneath the buyout?
What's the cost of dead coach walking?
That's the question. Andy, I think it's lower. I think it's lower than $19 million for 1 year. I really do.
I don't know, but what damage do you do in that year?
Yeah, that's true. You're not wrong.
I mean, this is the problem, and we're the ones that are always yelling at them about paying these buyouts and doing all and making these rash decisions. But I do understand where they're coming from sometimes, where they look at the balance, you know, they look at the balance sheet and they go, okay, what if everybody bails on us this season? Because I always say pissed off fans are okay. Like, if your fans are pissed off, you're all right, because it means they still care. Yeah. It's when they stop caring that you have a real problem. Don't do something that's going to make them stop caring.
Well, but they only stop caring, Andy, for what are we? This is February, in theory, 10 months.
I don't think Auburn fans have stopped caring at all.
No,
if
you say, you know what, we are going to go all in with Brian Harsin, and maybe that's because they like what they found out in this sort of two-man excavation, whatever they want to call it. Maybe it's because they can't get out from underneath the buyout and they don't have $19 million. Andy, I don't have that kind of cash. You know, maybe the Athletic can do that. I don't know if we can team up or ask the higher-ups here if they want to pay the buyout. I don't think they would be that into that. But, you know, Andy, it's a situation where if they can't really if they decide to go all in, Andy, I don't know that we're going to hear an honest reason for why that's happening. I think that's where we're at.
All in?
Yes.
Wasn't that their motto during the 2010 national title season?
I believe it was.
Hashtag all in?
Was. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but listen, I think that is sort of the...
Hey, David, it means they're too blessed to be stressed.
Yes. I would not... I mean, certainly that's where Harsin is on vacation at the moment. Andy...
Oh, if I were Brian Harsin and they wanted to fire me while I was on vacation, I would open an account in whatever Banana Republic I was vacationing in and be like, here's the number, just wire that buyout right here.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll never show up again. I'll send some people to grab my stuff.
So it's that I think, Andy, is the sort of with all the noise and everything that's been happening, you know, with players and coaches and all that stuff, I think that is where that I think might determine more than anything this decision.
Yeah.
If they fire him this week and they cut him, because all $19 million of that is due, I believe, by July. I think it's like half now and half by July 30th. And if they do that, I'll be floored. I'm just going to tell you. That's a lot of money. All
right, listen, it's a lot of money. It's just, you know, how much do your boosters owe in taxes, or think they're going to owe in taxes for the 2022 tax year? That's really what we're asking here.
Yeah.
Is there $19 million worth of taxes that your boosters might owe that they might want to just, instead of giving to Uncle Sam, would rather give to Uncle Aubie and take care of this?
Andy, I think the new recruitment is just whichever SEC team can convince Jeff Bezos to be a fan, because you've got Tim Cook, right? He's in the fold.
Tim Cook.
I know Tim Cook's got it.
Tim Cook can find that in his couch cushions.
He might have that stuck between the seats of whatever car that's not on the market that he's driving.
Hold on. Let me look at my cup holder. Oh, here's $30 million.
Yeah,
boom. Exactly. Let's get a new coach.
So if you can combine Tim Cook's powers with Jeff Bezos's now in that case, I think they're going to be okay on the buyout, Andy. So we'll see. But again, props to another victory in the most lopsided rivalry in college sports. Not the Iron Bowl, Andy. Agents versus athletic directors. A tip of the cap.
Yeah, Patrick Strong and Russ Campbell of Balch Sports. Good job. golf clap to you, because there's good money in this deal. But yeah, this is just... I don't know what you do, because I don't know how you come back from this. And a lot of this is what they themselves at Auburn have leaked out. Like, none of this had to get out. Somebody had to let it out. And
well, so, I mean, but Andy, when you got 20 guys in the portal and you got coaches leaving, The pressing question is why. And it seems
You don't have to say that you're getting to the bottom of it, separating fact from fiction, and we'll let you know when we have a decision. That the president of the university said that.
Well, that's true. I think presidents are uniquely bad at managing PR for college football programs. I feel like we've seen this time and time again, whether it's in realignment or coaching searches or all these things. But anyway, ultimately, I mean, when you have that much stuff, again, 6-7, 20 guys in the portal, 5 coordinators in a season and some change. Again, you got to ask why, and when you do, those arrows all kind of seem to be pointing in the right direction. Fair or not, again, perception is reality, and when you got players, you know, tweeting and a bunch of players liking those tweets and Instagram posts and all these things, and then you've got, you know, coaches not really saying much, and you hire an OC and he's gone in what, a month? That stuff doesn't happen.
Six weeks, yep.
That stuff does not happen. I mean, that's just not, you know, and it doesn't really even matter because you hired the guy, and whatever happened, if you didn't vet him hard enough or you didn't really get a sense of what to give him for expectations or whatever, you still made the move and now you're starting back at square one. And it's February 7th. Like, yeah, you can't be hiring coordinators in February 7th. Like, come on now. Like, you know, we see
Tucker
position
says you can do whatever you want. You're going 11-2 in year two.
Yeah, yeah. So
this is about when he got hired 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's a mess, Andy. And I think, you know, on the flip side of, you know, if they do end up making a move, I don't know what direction you go. I'm sure when they make a move, Andy, they'll find a candidate everyone can rally behind. I'm 100% sure of that. But, you know, there's an up-and-coming coach over at UCF that might do some, that might have some really good ideas for what.
Stop it. Stop.
No, but, like, I don't know who you get that can sort of unite people and get people excited. And I'm not saying that that's a reason not to make a move, but I'm just saying if you do, whoever makes that hire, whether it's Allen Green, whether it's the shadow boosters, whether it's a new AD, Godspeed to you, because tough market, tough circumstances. You just let a coach go
after. Everybody knows what you are.
Yes. Yeah. You just let a coach go after 13 games. You got other coaches, Brent Venables, dropping bombs on you. You're catching strays when other coaches
at bedtime.
That aren't even...
Brent Venables dropping bombs at tucking his daughter into bed. Good Lord, come on.
So it's just, I mean,
I was scared for you, he says about Auburn.
Yeah, it's just, it's going to be rough, Andy. And every option is bad. That's just where Auburn is right now.
Before we get to Jimbo Fisher and sliced bread, and I do want to get to that because we haven't talked about that on the podcast yet. We got to talk about the other big piece of news that dropped on Sunday, and that was our very own Bruce Feldman reporting that Josh Gattis leaving Michigan as the offensive coordinator, headed to Miami, and the fallout from Jim Harbaugh and his flirtation with the NFL.
Yep. Andy, it's almost like begins, every action has an continues? Equal and opposite reaction. That's what it feels like.
Why, thank you, Isaac Newton. Yes, I believe you're right.
These things don't happen in a vacuum, Andy. It strikes me as a pretty good idea and a pretty good move. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it is a nice move for Gattis because I think Mario Cristobal is building a pretty good thing at Miami, and Mario Cristobal has gotten a checkbook to allow him to build a pretty good thing at Miami. So there will be talent to work with, and they already got a quarterback at Miami. Tyler Van Dyke was very good at the end of the season. I actually thought he was going to save Manny Diaz's job. I did not realize Miami was jumping into the pool until they said, oh, by the way, we are jumping into that in the pool. The checkbook is open.
Here's our briefcase full of cash, and they're just flashing it for everyone to see.
Exactly. So now Jim Harbaugh. Now, I think, you know, maybe he elevates Weiss, the quarterback's coach, who came from the NFL, and they liked him a lot. So perhaps that, and then Mike Hart, maybe he's due for a bigger role in the program as well. He was
run
one of those guys,
coordinator,
that
something Jim like that, associate head.
Yeah,
coach,
if Jim
perhaps.
Harbaugh had, if Jim Harbaugh had taken the Vikings job, or been offered the Vikings job, which he then would have taken, Mike Hart had a lot of internal support as a potential, just a promotion hire instead of going out and doing a national search.
Andy, by the way, myself and after I tweeted this, our good friend of the program, fellow One True Pod host, Max Olson, texted me about this. The Harbaugh situation is the exact same situation for the season 3 finale of The Office, where Michael goes for the corporate job, does not get it, and is forced to awkwardly return back to a office full of people
to Scranton.
All believe that he was gone. It just strikes me as a very awkward, funny college football dynamic, Andy. Can we get a Hard Knocks style documentary of the next couple weeks in Michigan?
Yes. I really, you know, I don't know if there's, because you have the SEC shorts people, then they do great work. Like,
yeah,
that Auburn conversation we had, if you want to understand it better, go watch the SEC shorts Auburn roller coaster.
It is quite good.
Episode. it is exceptional. But we needed Big Ten shorts to essentially recreate The Office season 3 finale with Jim Harbaugh as Michael Scott. Like, and I guess Josh Gattis is Jim. Is that where we're going with this?
Well, the timing's messed up, but I guess Josh Gattis applied for a transfer to Stanford. The timing's a little off, but
that's
it still
true.
Works.
Yeah,
I think
true.
It still works.
You're right.
Or maybe Josh Gattis is Dwight and he's left for Staples.
That's it. That's it right there.
Yeah, I think that's right. Hopefully he doesn't take a box of leads with him. Let's hope for
nothing
Michigan
sadder than that episode when Dwight is working at Staples. ESPN's Tom and Heron reported that Gattis texted players at Michigan about his departure and basically said, in life I would never advise anyone to be where they're not wanted. I mean,
Andy, what do you think he meant? What do you think that means?
I mean, I think I know what that means.
Well, but do we think that's monetary? Do we think that's attitude? What do we think that is? Because he's paid pretty well. I don't know.
I think that's the general feeling. I think that's more of the way he feels than anything about money or anything else.
Is that credit also, for this last run? What is that?
Maybe. And I, you know, look, it seems to me like Jim Harbaugh had kind of put his eggs in the NFL basket and assumed this was the time and he was getting out of there. Now, here's the thing. I know Michigan and our Nick Baumgartner and Austin Meek have reported that Michigan's had the extension on the table, and I'm assuming that's still happening or the new contract, the new terms. Mm-hmm. If I were Ward Manuel, I wouldn't have changed anything about Jim Harbaugh's contract.
Keep the incentive
laden. You signed it last year. Tough.
Andy, this goes back to what we've already talked about, though.
You don't have any leverage.
Most lopsided rivalry in college sports. Again, we see it too often. And I think this is the same deal. I'm with you, but that's not how it works.
But his leverage had disappeared. Like, there's nothing the agent could work with at that point.
But the leverage, Andy, in theory, is, well, our fans are going to be mad, which I don't think is real, but to an athletic director, maybe it is. If he's got money people breathing down his neck saying, you got to pay this guy, well, why? Well, because we love him. Yeah, but, like, that's not how anything works. Well, we don't care. College sports operating somehow detached from every other law of capitalism and every other law that the entire world operates under.
Because it's purely emotional. Is it really detached, though? I mean, as we sit here and people are spending millions on NFTs, which are essentially gifts that you can right-click on, like, yeah. Is it really that different? I think people get emotional with their money. And college football just seems to bring that out of them.
I think so. Andy, by the way, can we get an NFT of you eating mayonnaise? I think I'd be into that. I would bid at least $10, $15 on that. No question.
That would be worth thousands of cents. Thousands.
That might be
the
most legendary moment in Andy Staples show history.
it's absolutely the slow motion one that Max Olson made for me. Yeah, no. I definitely think we got to turn that into an NFT. I wouldn't even know how to. How do you turn that into an NFT? Because you got to get it off.
I understand.
You got to get it authenticated.
Like, it's sort of like a running joke for people to be like, I don't understand NFTs. It's really not that complex. It's just like a virtual trading card. And, you know.
Correct.
Again, yeah. I understand the concept of what an NFT is. I do not understand how you sort of make something in NFT and then why build value.
Why it's valuable?
Yeah, build value into it. I don't quite get that, but maybe we can have just like a Bored Ape version of Andy Staples running around with the podcast mic or something.
I mean, I kind of look like him, so it's I think that's definitely possible. We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Before we go, David, we have to talk about sliced bread. We didn't get a chance to talk about sliced bread last week. I know Ari's talking about
it. One of the great reporters of our time, Andy. The Woodward and Bernstein of college football.
Jimbo Fisher went off on this during his signing day press conference last week. And I remember in January when the Notre Dame vice president retweeted the Bro Bible
story. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous then.
As if it was fact.
Now, can we just say
$30 million?
A moment of clarity before we get too far into this. Sliced bread is not an employee of Bro Bible, which I'm not sure.
No, I don't want to. I do not want to besmirch Bro Bible here. Sliced bread is an Oklahoma message board poster.
Yes, and by Oklahoma message board poster, we mean literally. There may be two people on the planet who know this guy's identity. Probably the publishers of that site know who it is, and I think even looking it up might be a violation of his privacy or whatever. But there was one post that just made some allegations, and then Bro Bible had this post that blew up and went viral by people who don't understand college football. Andy, the concept of $20 to $30 million for a recruiting class is ridiculous. It was never accurate. Yes. It was never close to reality. Andy, Kayvon Thibodeau might be the number one pick in the draft last year. Had a deal from Nike. He was making like $100,000. Nobody's making $1 million a year right now.
After we let Jimbo rant for a second, I will explain why I think he went in so hard. Because initially I thought, why did he do this? Why not?
It was
really
odd.
Just mess with people and be like, well, next year it's going to be $150 million. Because I think that would mess with people more. But then,
but you get some. Some point, you have to manage expectations. That's like saying we're going to win the national championship every single year.
Yep. I talked to people in College Station. They explained why he might have been trying to massage this, and it made a lot more sense. And it was not defending his honor kind of thing. It was just managing a potential problem down the road. But first, let's hear Jimbo Fisher just go off and pour the voice you will hear. Trying to interrupt Jimbo Fisher is poor Alan Cannon.
My guy AC, I love him. One of the best
devoted
in the country.
Texas A&M Sports Information Director trying desperately to end this answer and move on to the next question. So here is Jimbo.
Do you kind of consider it a slap in the face or whatever when there's these thoughts out there that
Very.
It's because a lot of money is being spent and just your
thoughts? Here's what I'm going to say, and this is point blank. This is point blank to the because here's my problem. There is no $30 million fund. There is no $5 million. There is no $10 million. This is garbage, okay? And it does. It pisses me off that people, and here it comes from a site called Bro Bible by a guy named Sliced Bread. Then everybody runs with it. So it's written on the internet. It's gospel. How irresponsible is that? You got, I'm going to tell you, there's some very reputable writers in college football and sports that wrote it and have said it and have done things. That's unbelievable to me. When I first heard it, I laughed. I said, oh, yeah, what a clown. I mean, I didn't even think anything of it because I don't have social media. And it kept building, and lately I've heard more about it. To me, it's insulting to the players that we recruited that's why they would come here. You ever been to a game here? You ever come to school here and see the education? You ever talk about the 12th man, the Aggie Network when you're done? There ain't a better university in this country. And it's insulting to what you say. And all these, and we got writers who have said it and done it off sliced bread. Guy named Sly, who made it up. Love to see who Sliced Bread is and put it out there with Sliced Bread. Let me find out where it comes from. And then to have coaches in our league and across this league to say it, clown acts. All right? Irresponsible as hell. Multiple coaches in our league. And the guy's griping about NIL, griping about transfer portal, using it the most and bragging about it the most. That's the ironic part. You want character? I'll take it with any of y'all. It's a joke. It does piss me off. The other thing. when you look at vice president, I get another one, vice president of Notre Dame. Supposed to be a reputable university, right? That's a heck of a person leading a reputable university. I'd be real proud if I hired that guy. Read it off sliced bread. But they say it because it's written on the internet. We worry about the kids and social media and internet. How about grownups? How about the guys that are supposed to be setting an example? How about writers who are supposed to be writing the right thing? How about coaches who are supposed to be doing the right thing? And I'll tell you what, I know how some of those guys recruit too. Go dig into that. I know the history. I know the tradition. I know things. Trust me, you don't want to go down that avenue. It's ridiculous, and it's irresponsible, and it's unbelievable. I ain't just talking about one. Multiple people got NIL issues. It's funny, when Nick Saban said his quarterback got an $800,000 deal, it was wonderful. Now it ain't wonderful no more, huh? But we ain't got that. Ours are on record what comes up. We ain't doing all them big deals. There ain't none on our place that we know of. That's funny when you do it. It's hypocrite. And then we gripe about the transfer portal, then you guys take more than everybody. What's about that? And what goes on? The hypocrisy is a joke. It's an absolute joke, and it's insulting to our staff, how hard we work, to how we do things, and it's insulting to Texas A&M because there ain't a better place to go to school and play ball. If you don't like it, we're coming on. Get used to it. All right? We ain't going nowhere. It's an absolute joke, the people who put the hard work in and do it. It's irresponsible, but it's funny when they get it, it's all okay. Ball games are changing, man. And it ain't because of NIL and what goes on. It's pretty irresponsible of all of them. They're clowns.
It's a WWE.
Poor AC. Just try.
I love it.
just try. He went Jackie Childs there for a second. It's totally inappropriate. It's lewd, lascivious, salacious, outrageous. Completely Jackie Childs.
Here's the thing about this, AD. 90% of what he said is right on the money. It is irresponsible, all those things. It's true. But I don't know that NIL money is not a draw. Andy, A&M's got some deep pockets.
Of course it is.
They have some business owners that have some. There's no such thing as a casual Aggie fan, Andy, and that's a good news. That's good news for them in the NIL era.
Like we were talking about with the caring and not caring. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
They care.
Exactly. So I'm sure it was a factor. Do you want guys that's the only reason they're going to A&M? Probably not, but it's definitely a factor, Andy. And so that part of it I don't buy, but I hear what he's saying.
So here's why I think he went in so hard on this. If I'm Jimbo Fisher, I do not want my current players or my recruits or the people I will recruit next year thinking there's a $30 million fund of NIL stuff for
Coach,
recruits.
Can I get one of those $1 million deals?
Yeah, the current, like Anaya Smith, and Anaya Smith coming back for a senior year and all that. Like if Anaya Smith were to believe this and walk in and be like, hey, I've done a little bit more than these guys have.
Yeah.
What's up with this? And then, or let's say Shamar Stewart joining the class, who, you know, was one of the late signees. Mm-hmm. All right, coach, I heard about this fund that the other guys are getting. What am I getting now? And then you go in for the class of 2023. Okay. Well, let's see. You're going to sign 25 guys, and you got 30 million. So, I'm getting at least 1.05 million. Let's hook it up. Let's go.
Yeah. I'm with you on this, Andy. Again, so here's the thing. Okay, so a lot of schools with these NIL deals, they have disclosure forms that say that those are FOIA-able. We have a deal with X company, and then some of them will include this is the deliverable, whether that's I went to the dealership and shook some hands or signed some autographs or I posted on social media. But the financial details are not FOIA-able, Andy. These are private deals, so nobody really knows all the money. And the Bryce Young $800,000 thing, my understanding of that deal, I've talked to multiple people in the NIL space, is that is over multiple years. If he stays, it's not $800. He didn't make $800,000 last year, Andy. That did not happen. Mm-hmm. He could keep that up. Now that he's got a Heisman Trophy in his bag, he might. Yeah, I'm sure the price of the bag is going up, Andy, as they say. So,
well, it's interesting to me how Nick Saban's statements to different audiences differ. When he's talking to a bunch of Texas high school coaches, he's sure to mention that Bryce Young's got some really good NIL deals. When he's talking to a bunch of fans, he's like, "We've never paid for a player." Like, yeah. Okay, I realize you're tailoring this message here. It's mm-hmm. It's funny how the people who might influence someone who might decide whether they want to play for you or not, you've just told them that you can make an awful lot of money going to Alabama.
Yeah, and Andy, it's...
These other people who wouldn't help with that at all, well, you don't have to say that to them.
Yeah. So this is where, you know, again, I can't remember who tweeted it last week, but it's very true. It's the concept of, and I wrote a piece about this, I don't know, or a week or two ago. Every coach is very concerned about, like, okay, transfer portal, NIL, the influence there, influencing all the roster movement, all that stuff. And then in the same breath, Jimbo's not alone. Nick Saban's not alone. Every coach is saying, NIL didn't really impact our class all that much. They're not the same. Like, that, you can't say both of those things because, Andy, you were down at the convention as well. What percentage of... Yep. of conversations did you have with coaches in San Antonio where there were some form of complaining about the transfer portal or NIL and the combination of the two and roster movement?
100%.
100 be my number as well. So it's in fact, it's impacting all these things, but then when you're signing your class, well, it didn't impact it. We just, we're promoting our great education and our fan base
They are accustomed to acting like nothing is wrong on National Signing Day. We filled all our needs, David.
I'm so excited about all these kids.
We filled all our needs with young men of great character.
That three-star that we signed that our rivals didn't offer. Well, we're just better at evaluating prospects.
Evaluating.
I mean, that's just what it is.
Look, we use our own rankings. We're not worried about what 24/7
on our
says.
Draft board. He was a first rounder, Andy, to use an NFL term.
he had a five-star heart, David.
He did. So you know, Andy. I appreciate the posturing. I like a lot of the fiery honesty from Jimbo. Like I said, 90% of what he said is totally right down the middle, 100% accurate. Some of the other stuff, like we mentioned, I don't know. But Andy, we need more of this. And, yes. You know, not so subtle jabs at Lane Kiffin, who I believe
cut the promos.
Lane Kiffin making the luxury tax joke, which... Funny joke, not exactly accurate, still very funny. What was it? Was it the same day or a day earlier?
Same day.
Yeah, something like that.
Same day.
Very funny. I understand how it would get underneath Jimbo's skin. Lane feeling himself a little bit after a 10-win season. So it is what it is. But more of this, Andy. This makes college football very interesting. I enjoyed the last week because ultimately, no harm, no foul, but very entertaining.
Cut the promos. Yes, I want you all mad at each other. And we want, we'll get Mean Gene in there.
Let's do it.
And he can just moderate. Let's do that instead of the more serious. Like, the Harsin thing's no fun. Like, I don't want to do it. I don't like the idea that this is happening, that this could happen after a year. But it is what it is. You know, this is the situation they're in. He knew the job he took, or maybe he didn't. Yeah. But he should have for that amount of money.
Wasn't like, exactly a secret, so Andy. When we're talking
I tweeted out Sunday night. I do feel like Don Draper explained coaching in the SEC better than anyone ever could. That's what the money's for. Like, every time I hear an SEC coach complain about anything, I just be like, Don Draper.
Yeah.
He said it.
Paid well.
Just go look at your bank account.
Arguably
and
better if you're fired, Andy. You want to get paid $4 million a year, $5 million a year to pull your hair out 24/7, 365. Or, Andy, $18 million to not work.
I have long said my dream is to be a fired big-time college football coach.
Yes, like, that is the dream.
It sounds like the greatest life of all time. I've joked about this
with multiple coaches, and they say that I'm crazy. I'm not so sure, Andy. Listen, if you cut me an $18 million check in the next 6 months, Andy, I'm not sure you'd ever hear from me ever again. I got to tell you.
You never would hear from me again. That's the thing. These guys, you get an $18 million check, you go coach UCF, or you go volunteer to work for Nick Saban for nothing,
man.
Or for peanuts. Like, no, I'm not
priority
doing that.
Priority check, fellas.
I'm buying some beach houses, and I'm just gone.
Andy, barbecue gone. Tour. You're gonna buy John Madden's old bus, and you're going to have somebody drive you around America.
Yes.
Actually, I will say I would watch that web series if it's just Andy driving around America sampling the best barbecue on John Madden's
bus. I feel like I need to be carried in a litter like Jabba the Hutt to each barbecue joint, just set down right at the door. Let's do it. If I had fired coach money, that's what I'd do. So
I'm not sure what I would do, but I know I wouldn't be on the internet and I would not be on social media. I can guarantee you that much.
No, gosh, no. Athletic, I love you, but if you ever, if we should ever disagree, give me some Gus Malzahn money and you'll never hear from me again.
Yep. That sounds like a plan, Andy.
But you will hear from us again. In fact, you're going to hear from us again on Tuesday because it never stops. This is the most fun sport in America, and we're going to keep it going. So we'll talk to you again soon.
Shout out Sliced Bread.